Well, hello again, and welcome to the Shellac Stack, a musical variety hour featuring the sounds of 78 RPM records from the first half of the 20th century. My name is Brian Wright, and it's my bad habit to collect these 78s, and I figured I needed a way to put them to good use, so here I am. And on today's program, I've got a pretty good selection, I think, for you. We'll hear everything from some big bands to some great vocalists of the 1940s. We'll hear some dance bands of the 20s and 30s and some blistering banjo work from Harry Reeser a little later on in the program. But I thought we would start today with something from Teddy Powell and his orchestra. This is a recording made for the Decca label when Powell's band was at the peak of its popularity, recorded October 6th, 1939 in New York City. It's an instrumental written by Teddy Powell and Fred Norman. It's called Jamaica Jam. And there you have Decca record number 2806, the Jamaica Jam, played by Teddy Powell and his orchestra from October of 1939. And my copy of that record came from a dear friend, the late Pat Patterson, an older gentleman who used to listen to the radio program I hosted when I was in high school in Virginia. It was called Sunday Night Nostalgia, and it aired on a local station. Pat Patterson listened, and he contacted me one time and said, you know, I have a basement full of 78s. Maybe you'd like to take a look, and maybe there would be some you'd be interested in. It's mostly big band material. As it turns out, Mr. Patterson, in the 1930s and 40s, had been very active in organizing dances in the Virginia and North Carolina region, bringing people like, I know he mentioned George Olson and others like that to town to play for proms and other dances. And he had collected these 78s through the years, and interestingly enough, though, didn't store them in paper sleeves or albums. He just had them in big, bare stacks on the wall. And I went through and pulled out that and a number of others, and he kindly gave them to me. I understand he died not long after that, so he's been gone, gosh, nearly 20 years now. Anyway, my thanks to the late Pat Patterson for that record, Teddy Powell's orchestra, Jamaica Jam. Good way to start the program. Well, I thought we would pull out a few records by Harold Van Emberg now, for no particular reason, other than I like Harold Van Emberg's singing, and he was a rather prolific studio vocalist in the early 1930s. He'd been born in 1904 in New Jersey, in Newark, and started music lessons apparently when he was fairly young. By 1920, when he was in his teens, he was playing saxophone, and in the mid-20s, played in some show bands and also toured in vaudeville. Came into contact with quite a number of the other major performers of the day, including Helen Kane and B.A. Rolfe and Vincent Lopez and Ferdy Groffé and others. Started recording in the late 1920s and continued all the way up into the mid-30s. He seems to have made his last records, at least those that I've come across, in the late 1930s. He stopped touring in the mid-30s after his wife basically gave him an ultimatum. She was tired of him being on the road so much. She said, either you stay home with me and the kid, or you go off and do your own thing and we won't see each other anymore. And he chose family, and so he seems to have settled in the New York region after that, not gone on tour as much, and stayed in music, though, all the way up until shortly before his death in the early 1970s. I thought we'd listen to three of his records. We'll start with a Crown record. He made several dozen selections for the Crown label, both under his own name and also under the pseudonym of Harold Richards. All of these are credited to his name, though. We'll hear first Leo Dreyer and his orchestra, a thing called Fit as a Fiddle, recorded in October of 1932. After that, from the following year, 1933, we'll hear Harold White and his orchestra, which is a pseudonym for the Green Brothers Orchestra, on Mellotone. We'll hear Are You Sure You Love Me? And then we'll finish the set with something from 1935 called Clouds. Murray Kellner and his orchestra, under the pseudonym of, well, Kel Murray and his orchestra. Conqueror record number 8475 from January 29th, 1935. Three now from Harold Van Emberg, starting with Fit as a Fiddle.
To care, feel like a feather that's floating on air, fit as a fiddle and ready for love. Soon those church bells will be ringing, and I'll march with Ma and Pa. How those church bells will be ringing, with a hey nunny nunny and a hot cha-cha. I diddle diddle, my baby's okay, ask me a riddle, oh what did she say? Fit as a fiddle and ready for love. Thank you. happy when you're in my arms. Are you sure you love me, dear? Will you keep your promise? Never let us part. Will you always call me sweetheart? On your love, my life's depending. Say you're not pretending. Now's the time to tell me if you're not sincere. Are you sure you love me, Dear. Was I, but how was I to know? I gladly gave my heart in sweet surrender to learn that love was meant to come and go like snow-white clouds floating through the night, speaking of a love that was heavenly, a love that could never be mine. Thank you.
And there you have three selections featuring vocalist Harold von Emberg, recorded between 1932 and 1935. We took those in chronological order, starting with Fit as a Fiddle, Leo Dreyer and his orchestra on a Crown 78. After that, it was Harold White and his orchestra, a pseudonym for the Green Brothers Orchestra, Are You Sure You Love Me, on a Mellotone disc, and we finished with Kel Murray and his orchestra, not-so-creative pseudonym masking bandleader Murray Kellner. On Conqueror Records, we heard the song Clouds, that one from January of 1935. And I would like to express my thanks to researcher Chris Berry, who has done some remarkable work on the Crown Records label of the early 1930s, and he's also spent considerable time researching the various performers who recorded for the Crown label, including Harold von Emberg, and he runs a Facebook group in which he posts a lot of his research, including a biography of Harold von Emberg that was very helpful to me in preparing this little set. So if you're on Facebook, I'd encourage you to look up the Crown Records group and maybe drop a note of thanks directly to the moderator of that group, Chris Berry, for all of his work in dredging up the biographies of these forgotten performers. Without him, I would never have known much about Harold von Emberg. My name is Brian Wright. This is the Shellac Stack, a musical variety program featuring the sounds of 78 RPM records. We'll continue with a couple of dance bands of the 1920s now. First, from a cameo disc, we'll hear the Caroliners, a group led by Bob Herring. And they're doing a Jules Bufano tune, Thanks for the Buggy Ride, one of the very early electrical recordings to appear on the Cameo label. Arthur Fields is the vocalist, and this dates from March of 1926. After that, we'll head out to Kansas City for a location recording by Andy Kirk and his 12 Clouds of Joy, Brunswick 4893, a tune written by Andy Kirk and Mary Lou Williams called Corky Stomp, recorded in Kansas City, November 11th, 1929. First, though, here is Bob Herring and Thanks for the Buggy Ride.
Loving sure be silly machine. Now although I lost the prize, thanks for the buggy ride, I had a wonderful time. Thank you.
Well, we started that set with Bob Herring directing a studio group at the Cameo label in March of 1926. Thanks for the Buggy Ride. The vocalist not credited on the label, but we know it to be Arthur Fields. After that, we heard a Brunswick record made in Kansas City in November of 1929 by Andy Kirk and his 12 Clouds of Joy, featuring young Mary Lou Williams in there on piano, the Corky Stomp. And I like that. And, well, I guess that goes without saying. I don't suppose I would keep too many records around that I don't like, nor would I play them on the program. So, hey, but speaking of liking records, if you like anything that you hear on today's program or any other Shellac Stack program, something that especially strikes a chord with you, I'd love to hear from you. You can send me an email, address it to shellacstack@gmail.com. Again, that's shellacstack, all one word, @gmail.com. Maybe you don't have to send me an email every time you hear something you don't like, but hey, if there's something that really, really tickles your fancy, send me a note, and maybe I'll have something else by the same artist, or maybe another version of a song that is a particular favorite of yours. If you want to just say hi, that works too. Just send me an email, shellacstack@gmail.com. Well, I thought we would listen now to a few songs composed and performed somewhat in honor of Phoebe Ann Mosey, a name that probably doesn't ring too many bells now, but you may know her better as Annie Oakley. And when I was in middle school, our school's drama department mounted a production of Annie Get Your Gun, the 1946 Irving Berlin musical based on the life and career of Annie Oakley. And ever since then, a lot of the songs from that show have stayed with me and remain favorites of mine even today. So I thought I'd pull out some 78s of songs from Annie Get Your Gun, and that's what we'll listen to in this next little set. But first, just a few words about Annie Oakley herself, in case you were wondering. She was born in 1860, the sixth of nine children. When she was only 5 years old, though, her father died after suffering exposure during a blizzard, leaving her mother to raise seven children. Two of the kids died in infancy. And they lived in poverty in western Ohio. And when she was only, I guess, about 7 or 8 years old, it just became too much for Annie Oakley's mom to take care of her. So she was essentially hired out to a local family to serve as a servant, supposed to be doing cooking and washing and other chores. But apparently this family treated her terribly and made her to stay outside during the winter in freezing cold temperatures as punishment for falling asleep while doing a chore and other things like that. She would in later life refer to this family as the Wolves, though she never named them. After a few years of that, though, Annie was able to rejoin her mother, and apparently she honed her skills as a sharpshooter while hunting for small game that the family could eat or that she could sell to local restaurants to serve. And she became quite good at shooting. And in somewhere around 1876, a sharpsman came to town named Frank Butler, a guy who made his career traveling around and performing fancy shooting. And he put a $100 bet down that he could beat any in the area. And Annie Oakley came up, and she was then all of 16 years old, and I guess positioned herself as somewhat of a challenge to this Frank Butler. He took it on, and after 25 rounds, Frank Butler missed a shot and lost that bet, which in today's money would be worth about $2,800. Rather than getting upset that he had been beat by a 16-year-old girl, though, he became very intrigued by her, and the two went on to have a very famous romance and marriage, and they remained married until their deaths nearly 50 years later. Annie died first after injuries from an accident and weakened her health, and then she had other health problems, died in 1926, and Frank Butler died just a few weeks later. But I'm getting ahead of myself. During her career, she traveled all over Europe. She performed before the Queen in England. She performed all across the United States in Buffalo Bill's Wild West show. You probably know all of that, so why don't we just get on to the music? But songs now written for the show Annie Get Your Gun, on the career of Annie Oakley, which fictionalized Annie Oakley's career, but still managed to get some of the basic gist of it. First, we'll hear Elliot Lawrence and his orchestra on a Columbia record. Rosalind Patton will sing Who Do You Love, I Hope? After that, we'll hear Jan Garber and his orchestra and one of the more up-tempo tunes from the show called Doin' What Comes Naturally, and Billboard singled out this particular recording on the Black and White label as being the only uncensored version of the song to be commercially released at the time. I don't think there's anything too scandalous, but you can hear for yourself. We'll hear June Arthur and the Foursome sing the vocal on this. And we'll wrap up the set with Andy Russell on the Capitol label from 1946, singing They Say It's Wonderful, probably my favorite song from the show. So three now from Annie Get Your Gun, beginning with Elliot Lawrence and his orchestra. Who do you love? I hope.
No learning. Still, they raised a family. You doing Uncle Jan has never read an almanac on drinking. Still, he's always on a spree, doing what comes naturally. Sister Sal, whose musicale has never had a lesson. Still, she's learned to sing off key, doing what comes naturally. You don't have to go to a private school not to turn up your bustle to a stubborn view. You don't have to have a professor's dome not to go for the holly when the bee's at home. That comes naturally.
My tiny baby brother, who's never read a book, knows one sex from the other. All he had to do was look.
Grandpa Bill lives on the hill with someone he just married. There he is at 93, doing what comes naturally. Doing what comes naturally. Doing what comes naturally.
They say that falling in love is wonderful. It's wonderful. So they say. And where the moon up above is wonderful. It's wonderful, so they tell me. I can't recall who said it. I know I never read it. Romance is wonderful, wonderful in every way, so they say.
There you have three selections from the show Annie Get Your Gun, all of them recorded in 1946 when the show was new. First, Elliot Lawrence and his orchestra with Who Do You Love, I Hope, followed by Jan Garber and his orchestra. Nothing too scandalous there, I don't think. Doing What Comes Naturally, and we finished off with Andy Russell, and They Say It's Wonderful. Well, let's continue now with a Bluebird 78 by Teddy Hill and his NBC Orchestra. From March 26, 1937, Beatrice Douglas will sing it. It's a tune by Sammy Kahn and Saul Chaplin called Would You Like to Buy a Dream? And then we'll hear something from Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra featuring Jimmy Dorsey, recorded in January 1954 for the Bell label. And you may know the Bell label of the 1950s for their 7-inch pressings. These were the same size as 45 RPM records, but they played at 78 and required a microgroove stylus. Well, apparently that posed a problem for jukeboxes and some radio stations for whom the 7-inch format was either unwieldy or simply not possible. So Bell did produce a limited number of each issue in a regular 10-inch standard groove format, and that's what I've got for you here. I think the sound quality is a little better than the 7-inch counterpart. Bell 1028, the tune is Green Eyes. But first, here's Teddy Hill, Would You Like to Buy a Dream?
Sweet nights bring to my soul a longing, a thirst for love divine. In dreams I seem to hold you, to find you and enfold you. Our lips meet and our hearts too, with a thrill so sublime. Those cool and limpid green eyes, a pool wherein my love lies, so deep that in my searching for happiness I feel that they will ever haunt me. All through my life they'll taunt me, but will they ever want me? Green eyes, make my dreams come true. We'll be right back.
my soul a longing, a thirst for love divine. In dreams I seem to hold you, to find you and enfold you. Our lips meet and our hearts too, with a thrill so sublime. Those cool and limpid green eyes, a pool wherein my love lies, so deep that in my searching for happiness I fear that they will ever haunt me. All through my life they'll taunt me, but will they ever want me?
Nice fidelity on that Bell 10-inch 78 from 1954, Johnny Amoroso and Lynn Roberts singing Green Eyes. Before that, Teddy Hill and his NBC Orchestra with Beatrice Douglas singing Would You Like to Buy a Dream from 1937. Now, I thought we would listen to two versions of a tune associated with Kate Smith, but neither of these is going to feature Kate Smith. The song is When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain. First, we'll hear it performed from a Crown 78. Charles Laumann is the vocalist from July of 1931. Adrian Schubert and his orchestra, Crown 3162. After that, we'll hear it performed by venerable jazzman Bunk Johnson, recorded for the American Music Label in, about April of 1946. American Music 517. So, two versions now of When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain.
Thank you.
I hope you were paying attention to the pianist on that record. It was young Don Ewell, sounding somewhat like Jelly Roll Morton, and I love that stuff. Bunk Johnson, When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain, American Music record number 517. And before that, another version of the song, played by Adrian Schubert and his orchestra on Crown 3162, with Charles Lawman singing it. Well, we have time for one more record on today's program, and I thought we'd end with a bang. A tune written and played by Harry Reeser on the Victor label, made October 19th, 1926 in New York City. This one has the delightful title, Lollipops. With the banjo pyrotechnics of Harry Reeser playing his tune Lollipops on Victor 20439 from 1926. That is just about all there is on this edition of the Shellac Stack. Thanks once again for tuning in and listening to these old 78 RPM records with me. I hope you enjoyed the program, or at least parts of it, and I hope you'll want to join me again for more records next time. Until then, take care. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.